Welcome. You are about to dive into a teaching provided by Women's Prosperity Network as part of their Wow Wednesday series. This is your midweek boost of motivation, education, and inspiration to keep you in consistent action and intention in achieving your goals and your vision. For more information about Women's Prosperity Network and their coaching programs, live events, and mastermind workshops, go to womensprosperitynetwork.com. And now, on to your teaching.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to Wow Wednesday. This is where Women's Prosperity Network's fabulous community, sisterhood and brotherhood, come together for a midweek boost of inspiration, education, and motivation. Everybody else calls it hump day, not us. It's Wow Wednesday. And this is Trish Carr, and I am so excited to be with you this morning. I'm filling in for Nancy Matthews, who's out of the country, traveling to the very exotic Galapagos Islands, so I can't wait to hear her story when she gets back. But it's a pleasure to be with you this morning, as I will be tonight at 8 p.m. as well. And my guest today is someone I'm so glad that we're having this conversation with today, because it's all about what's happening in the 21st century. My guest today is Dr. Erica Goodstone, and she is a love mentor and relationship healer that supports women and men, individuals, couples, gay, straight, yellow, green, black, blue, white, doesn't matter. She works with individuals and couples, and she's a licensed mental health counselor, a licensed marriage therapist, a board-certified sex therapist, and a board-certified coach. She's also a former professor of health and physical ed. She has taught and practiced wellness, fitness, meditation, and the mind-body-spirit connection for several decades. She teaches her clients about love, starting first with loving oneself. And armed with the power of self-love, her clients and students miraculously connect with a new loving partner or create passion in their current relationship. And couldn't we all use a little more passion and love? So welcome, 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 Dr. Erica. I'm so glad you could be with us this morning.
And thank you for the lovely introduction.
Oh, my pleasure, my pleasure. I love this conversation. I've been looking forward to it. Love in the 21st century. And it is different, definitely different, especially for people who are younger, dating, just coming up. So, Dr. Erica, tell us about what's different about love in the 21st century.
Well, the first word that comes to me is technology.
Yeah.
That has changed us tremendously. I recently had a guy come to say that he's gone online. He said, have you been in this singles world lately? And he doesn't even meet people in person anymore. Like it used to be, we would go to events, live events or bars and social events. And now it's so many people meet each other online. And it could be really difficult because when you meet with a person that has a checklist before they even meet you, you know, right away you could be checked off the list. And if you meet someone in person somewhere and you do an activity together, you get to know each other, you're a little more lenient, a little more receptive. So that's a huge difference right there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, technology does change everything. When I became single, so I was married for many, many years, and I became single, the first place I went to was technology. I was like, okay, where am I going to date? Let's see what websites there are.
That's so true. And the other piece is that people may not be truthful online. As we know, at Women's Prosperity Network event, one of the speakers, Debbie, talked about what happened online.
Yeah, Debbie Montgomery Johnson. $1 million.
Wonderful. And it's not just what she did, but the person sounded wonderful. And people can sound wonderful but you really need to get to know each other. And well, that takes a while.
It does. And here's what's really interesting. I just found out, I did not know this, but the picture that Debbie Montgomery Johnson was given by the man that she was talking to for over 2 years online, who she really never met in person, the picture that he gave to her was actually a stolen picture from the internet. And last week I was with a speaker and friend of mine, Eric Swanson, and he told me that his identity has been stolen to be used as a ruse on dating sites. And it happens all the time. He said it's been going on for several years and it's been used more than once. So apparently, you know, they, whoever they are, just like they steal identities and make passports out of them, they steal identities and sell them over and over again to scammers on the internet. It's unbelievable.
So that's part of the negative side of it. But there are an awful lot of people that meet and connect through the internet. But you really need to pretty quickly meet that person live, in person, and to meet people in their life. Friends, family, people that know them, and to pay attention to what you're hearing. So that's another thing that I've been finding nowadays is because of the internet, it's so much easier for someone to cheat or to have a secret life or a separate life because you don't even know about it. And several years ago, there were statistics about Facebook breaking up about 25% of marriages, and now it could be much more than that, and not just Facebook, social media.
Wow. So with the prevalence of that escape into a fantasy land, into a different, you know, that online place, how do you keep your relationship? For those of us who have a relationship, some of us are looking for love, are ready for our next relationship. Some of us are in a relationship. How do you make the real thing more exciting and appealing with the real live partner or the real live people that you're going to be with? I mean, that would be the thing that it would come down to, is how do I make it more attractive than this fantasy life?
Well, the first thing is to really be honest, and it always starts with yourself. Be honest with yourself. What do I want in a relationship? What do I provide in this relationship? And I'm talking right now for people in a relationship, but also when you're looking to meet somebody, if you meet a new person and they don't really fit your criteria for what would make you happy, then why get started and why get involved for a long time? Because people do. You're afraid you're never going to meet another person. But I also feel it's really important to look at love and relationships almost like a business endeavor, so that you, if you want a new job, you would really do what you need to do, build up your resume, go for interviews. So look at it somewhat the same way in terms of meeting someone, if that's really important to you, and to really know what your major criteria are, what you can and cannot accept. But in a relationship, the most important thing is communication. Really somehow getting each other to really share those intimate feelings. Because what happens is, this is something that I'm finding lately, this is the 21st century, it's happened with several couples. One person, often the woman, is texting all the time. So they're sitting together watching TV or sitting right after dinner and just relaxing, and she's texting and not present. And that can be infuriating and frustrating to the person that she's with. So if that same, I'm talking men and women, so if the woman is texting and the man goes to work and another woman is listening to him, flattering him, treating him really well, that's an opportunity for someone to stray. It can happen so easily. But if the two of you are communicating and sharing deeply and enjoying activities together and really being present, why would somebody need this other outside distraction? And if something else was happening, the partner would share with you. So that openness and sharing is huge.
Wow. You know, it's what you were talking to me when you were saying that. Mostly the woman is doing the texting. That's absolutely right.
For some reason, that's what I'm finding. It always seems to be the woman texting children, grandchildren, you know, depending on their age. But this is not just younger people, in all different ages.
It's so funny you say that because I just got back from a weekend away, and we were on the beach, and it was beautiful. We didn't have the TV on very often, and my husband and I were just enjoying being with each other. And I absolutely noticed that I rarely looked at my phone. My phone was away. And when we were driving yesterday, he goes, you know, it was really great to just spend the weekend and just connect. And when I thought about it, we didn't do a lot of talking. I'm not saying that we did a lot of other stuff, but we didn't do a lot of talking. We would just hang out together. We were just sitting on the beach together and just looking at the birds together. It wasn't like, you know, all this deep conversation. But at the end of a few days of just being together with no technology, my husband said he felt like we reconnected. So that's
that
a really
beautiful.
Good point. Yeah, really
and,
good point.
And it isn't just in the intimate relationship. I see it at my health club. I mean, I've been there for many years, and I used to sit in the jacuzzi, and other women would be just relaxing there. We'd have some gentle conversations. Now, so many people are sitting on the chaise lounges with their phones, and there's no connection.
Yeah.
They bring the phone into the steam room and into the sauna, and they're still doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, good advice. You know, so the first piece of advice is to put down the phone. Thank you very much. I'm listening. I hear you. Put down the phone and be with the person you're with, whether it's on a date, whether it's your husband or your significant other, your partner, whatever. Be with them. And then when you talk about communication, Dr. Erica, so, you know, we always hear that communication is the key to a good relationship, yet, you know, like what kinds of, you know, we always think we communicate so well and then we still have a fight. So can you expand a little bit on communication and you know, what kinds
Absolutely.
Of. Absolutely. Yeah.
Hey, what you were talking about is your little vacation is the way we really communicate is not with the words, it's with the body language and the look in our face and whether our eyes are making contact. It's much more than the words we say, but it's also those words. It's the attitude we have. John Gottman, a leading person who's done research on marriage and couples, he talks about a certain look of disdain, a look of disgust was totally correlated with divorce. And, you know, we've all had somebody who gave us that look, you know, like whatever we're saying or doing is ridiculous or worthless or unimportant, or we get ignored or we get shut down. Another thing is John Gray, who wrote Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, he talks about the difference between testosterone males and estrogen females, or that energy, and that the worst thing that a woman can do when you're having a fight is to keep on questioning the man, mm-hmm. because he just shuts down. This is a big generalization. It could go the other way, but that's something that happens, and most women do. I mean, one woman described how she would follow him upstairs, you know, keep on questioning, and he would close the door, and she'd be so mad that he closed the door. But he doesn't know what to do. He can't communicate the same way. If someone's in an angry state, they can't be in this loving, communicative state. But at another point, if you let it go, whatever the argument is, at another point, if you're walking together, that is the best time to really try to communicate, because as you're walking and moving, both sides of the brain are being activated. So the person can hear and you're not face-to-face confronting each other. Mm. So there's so many tips for just for communication, and we don't always realize that we're saying something that's affecting the other person and upsetting them, and that if we've done that many times, they may react or explode later on, and we don't know where it came from. But it's from those mini communications.
So watch those looks.
Oh,
watch
God.
Those looks. So that right well, there, what you just said, it was chock full of great stuff.
Thank you. But it just reminded me of that look that a parent gives to a child.
Right.
If they have, you know, a good connection and the discipline is good, they all they have to do is give that look, and the kid knows.
Well, and we, you know what, for I can speak for myself and what I've observed in other women is we tend to be parents to our men. We even hear women saying, you know, I brought up one child and that type of thing. So I don't know why it happens, but I know that I give a look to my husband sometimes as if he's a seven-year-old and he's acting like a seven-year-old, you know. So be really careful with that. The other thing you were talking about that was really gold that you just shared was walking and moving and talking. Because I know that when we go for a walk and we have our best conversations, you know, whenever we're walking along the beach or walking down the street or whatever we're doing on the boardwalk, we really do have much better conversation. And it never occurred to me until you just said it that whole face-to-face confrontation doesn't happen when you're walking side by side. And it also brings in your whole body. You know, Anthony Robbins talks about move a muscle, change an attitude. Well, that's the same thing that's happening there. The other thing that you said, Dr. Erica, that I don't want to lose is that when you are in the heat of a conversation that can escalate to an argument, or you've already started, that level of anger is already starting in your spouse, for most men, they want to just hide. That's why they call it a man cave. They want to go in their cave and heal themselves in this anger, whereas we want to answer right now and we want to fix this. We want it done. We want to discuss it. And that's not what they want to do. So we have to allow our partners, and this goes both ways, like you said, it goes for women too. We have to allow our partner to be able to get on the other side of the anger, because if we just keep going at it, nothing productive happens. Right?
Absolutely. And I just wanted to add something. Driving also can be a good time to have a conversation, not an angry one, but it's not necessarily the best time if you really have a big issue, because you don't want anything to escalate while you're driving.
Right.
But
you're
side by side and you're not confrontational, and sometimes it's a good time to get certain things out. But that also depends on your tone. That's another piece with the conversation, that it's really important to start with something positive, like not to immediately attack, you always do this and that and the other thing, but to show, I appreciate that you really want to help me, but when you do this, I feel this way.
Right.
So
right.
We don't show enough appreciation for the people that are closest to us. We're very quick to find the flaws. That's another thing I've heard so much of, that the other person, one person feels criticized a lot. And sometimes it's a woman who's kind of strong. She appears to be strong. So her partner may think she's very strong. So he doesn't think he has to say these soothing things to her and show as much appreciation as he really does. And men really want to be appreciated for what they do. So sometimes they're not so good with romantic gifts. I'm generalizing, you know, of course there's some that are, but they may help you fix your car and help you with your computer or do something technical or whatever they're good at. And it's real important to show lots of appreciation.
Yeah, you know, and I learned that a long time ago. And, you know, we talk about this in the men and women and the romantic relationships, but what you just said is true in any relationship. You know, when you can edify someone, when you can appreciate them, it only adds beautiful music to your relationship. So it's really,
yes,
really
and,
important.
And Nancy talks about the one philosophy. So if you really treat your partner as that one, that special person, they feel it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're busy comparing them to everybody else and they don't seem to measure up, it's really hard for the person at home that you see in all kinds of situations and, you know, you take out the garbage and you have to do all kinds of chores. It's hard to see that person as being as exciting as someone who's all dressed up that you don't really know, that looks sexy, that looks good in business. So another thing that's valuable is to go to see this person in their top lifestyle. So if someone is a teacher, to go see them teach, or if they're a nurse, to go and see the person at work, or if it's a business person, see the person in their business setting. You can get so impressed with that same person that you know in a different way.
And you know, you were saying about once the laundry comes into a relationship, everything shifts, right? Once those domestic things mm-hmm. that you have to do come into a relationship. So what do you say about keeping it alive in those relationships? What could you do to, you know, keep it going?
Well, I think it's good to think about, there's a book that I loved by a rabbi, Shmuley Boteach, called Kosher Adultery. And he was suggesting, you know, almost pretending like you're cheating, but with each other. Like maybe going to a bar and your wife is sitting at the bar, or your girlfriend's sitting at the bar and you come in to pick her up. You know, cute little, that's like a role playing. But you can do things like texting each other and saying cute little sexy things to each other and making a phone call, planning ahead some exciting new event. It's treating the person the way you treat someone that you're excited about at the beginning, and find a way to do that. Find a time and a way to do that, to share some of the things that hurt you, so that you understand when you're saying things that you think you're saying something wonderful and the other person's taking it in some other way, to get clear on those kind of things. And to be playful with each other.
Yeah, playful is really important. Real, I love that. Kosher Adultery.
I love that book.
Really, really awesome. And then, you know, there are many people who are, you know, out of their last relationship, looking for their next relationship. And again, with social media, dating sites, chat rooms, all of that, what kind of suggestions do you have for people who are looking for love? What can they do to create that in their life?
Well, the first thing, Arielle Ford, that I've interviewed on a few of my summits, she talks about the soulmate secrets. And I did this before I met my husband. I had written a whole list of the qualities that I really wanted in a man. I left out a little piece, which was how I wanted to feel in the relationship, but I got all the other things that were on my list. So it's important to really write out a list, actually put it in writing. What do I want? And to include the piece about how do I want to feel in this relationship? You know, what kind of activities do I want to be able to do together? And then what really matters? For some people, money really matters. I've been working with a few people lately where they need to have a lot of money. There are other people where the money's not such a big issue. So if you are listening to your friends and you think, I am supposed to have somebody who's successful in business, and then you get involved with someone who's a real good business success, who's traveling all the time, hardly has time for you, I'm talking about a man again, a man who has lots of women, that he socializes with and texts with, and you don't know if he's dating them, you don't know if he's in business with them, that might not be what you want, unless you're also a business person who's traveling and maybe that matches you, so you're comfortable with it. So you really, really need to know, what do I want? And then I have something like a 30-day rule where you don't know anything in the first 30 days with a new person. It's not like you grew up with each other and you went to school together and you know the families. You don't know anything about a new person. There's a lot to learn. They may still be in love with their last wife or girlfriend or partner. So you really need to give 30 days before you really know anything. And if you can resist being sexual, it's a really good thing, because as soon as you get sexual with a partner, you get the hormones flowing and then you get attached, and then it gets really hard to let go. It's easier before you let your body get involved. And then 3 months is another time period. People can be presenting their best foot forward for many months. Sometimes they do it for a year or 2 years. So even sometimes it can take 3 years to start to know what you're really dealing with. Mm. And I've even had couples that were together for a long time, and one partner had a whole secret life. Someone had an affair for like 15 years and married and just doing this private thing, and the partner would never know unless they get caught. And right. I've also worked with couples where they get caught. Someone sends a text. I mean, you can't control what another person's going to do, and you don't know that your partner's going to see that text or email or phone call. And it is so devastating to the partner to know that I've been with this person and something else has been going on that I had no idea about. And that really happens a lot.
Yeah, sounds like it.
So when someone says that their partner has no sex drive, for me, I see red lights. Because, yes, maybe they have a low sex drive. Then why not go for counseling together to figure out what can be done and go to a urologist or a gynecologist and check on that? But sometimes it's because there's some other thing going on. And this is another piece that I didn't mention about the 21st century, and that's pornography. That's huge. There are so many men online with pornography. It's easy. It's there. Some of them just grew up with that. In the earlier generations, if they wanted to see it, they had to sneak a magazine from somewhere. Maybe their father had a magazine. When you could buy them in the stores, it was embarrassing to go in and buy it. You know, so there was stigma around it. So it wasn't so available. So men had to get involved with partners or go to a prostitute, and not everyone would do that. But now there are massage parlors. You can go into a place that looks okay, but it can be sexual. And there are all these strip clubs around. It's very available. Mm. So times are very different.
And yeah, but, you know, it sounds like that even in the 21st century, common sense, using your head, being the best you can be, I mean, it all comes down to that, having trust in yourself and trust in your decisions. I mean,
And paying attention. If something doesn't seem right, if something doesn't feel right, you know, maybe something's not right.
If it doesn't feel right, it's not right. Well, I would love to... Go ahead. Before you do that, I'd love to invite our listeners in. It's right about halfway. So what I want to do is I want to open up the queue and hold that thought because I want you to share it.
Okay.
And I'm going to open up the queue and invite our listeners to join in on the conversation. Love to hear your comments. What kind of situations have you been running into in love? What questions might you have for Dr. Erica? So follow that next thought, Dr. Erica.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Oh, do you want me?
Yeah, you were going to say something.
The next thing I was going to say is that I left out so far is the effect of substance abuse.
Mm.
That is huge in our society right now. And that can lead to some of these other problems. That can lead to someone having an affair, because if they're drinking a lot, you know, they're going to be much more receptive to anything, and or if they're taking drugs. So I'm not saying to automatically dump a person because of that, because if you are totally interconnected, you want to work with the person to help out and get them into treatment and all of that. But that's a whole issue going on in society now.
Yeah,
and the other piece that's going on is so many more divorces and second marriages and third marriages with these complex families. And I'm seeing real issues with the children from your partner's marriage, from your partner's previous marriage.
Right.
Those issues of a blended family are huge.
Yeah.
And they really often require counseling with an outside person to help to mediate what's going on.
And, you know, for so many years in my past, you know, I never wanted to admit that I could use help in a relationship. But every time I've ever seen someone like yourself who we could just talk with, who could give us an objective view, it was always, always a good decision. So seeing that third party, someone like yourself who is trained, who is educated, who works with thousands of people, who can give you some light on what's happening that you just can't see, is so valuable. I have a few people in the queue who would love to chat with you, but before we do that, I know that you have a relationship healing toolbox, and I love the website because it has so many great, beautiful videos on it about love. And I know that you wanted to offer that to everybody who's on the call today. Can you tell us a little bit about it and where they can get that? And then I'm going to open up the line for our listeners.
Okay. The website is relationshiphealingtoolbox.com. And my favorite video on there is Barbara Streisand and Neil Diamond singing "You Don't Bring Me Flowers." It's so beautifully sung and so tender. And that's exactly what happens in relationships, not just about the flowers, but it's about the love.
Mm-hmm.
That somehow that's missing, even though the love is still there. The excitement and the joy is missing, and you can bring that back. So in my toolbox, I created these like kind of catchy names, 9 tools that will help you to really create a wonderful relationship and really to find someone and choose the right person. So the first one is a choice calculator. Just like you have a calculator for numbers and a calendar for dates, you need a way to calculate your choices before you make the choice. And it's always a choice of who to be with. So if you're choosing carefully based upon what you know about this person and trying to find out and learn as much as you can about the other person, but making a conscious choice about whether or not this person is good for you, rather than jumping into something which feels good for the moment, your hormones are aroused. Another one is a truth detector, because there's so many people not really telling the truth, but your body will reveal to you whether or not something doesn't feel right. Your gut has millions of neurons and serotonin and other hormones flowing through it that if you feel something there, pay attention. Your gut and the rest of your body and your heart. An emotional diffuser. You get all upset. And do you have a way to calm yourself down without blaming another person? So I'll just name a few of the others. A response reframer, body language decoder, listening aid, and a love meter, love boomerang. Those are the tools.
Wow, that really is a toolbox chock full of good stuff. Thank you for that. So go to relationshiphealingtoolbox.com and get all of those tools from Dr. Erica. Love it, love it, love it. Let me go ahead and open up the lines. Our first caller is someone in the 914 area code. Good morning. Your line is open.
Good morning, Trish. How are you?
I'm great. Jean-Marc Byrne from New York. Welcome. Glad you're on the call with us.
Thank you. And I want to thank Erica as well. This is very timely, especially since I'm newly single again.
Really?
And looking for love.
So
yeah, I find this very, very interesting, and I am definitely downloading that relationship toolbox.
And do you have a question?
Yeah, so I think that, so one of the things that I'm figuring out is looking for, like, there are certain things in that I may, that I'm looking for in a partner, and I don't know that I have a question, more so than just an observation of being in technology with technology today and finding new people. I think part of the challenge that I find is having a certain things in mind and not having not really putting the whole picture of what I really want. And I think one of the things that really brought it home was the mentioning is, like, how do I want to feel in the relationship? And mm-hmm. and that lit a light bulb in me. It's like, okay, yes, let me put that in what I'd like for myself as well. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
So do you have a list? You have a list, Jean-Marc?
I do.
Good.
Yeah.
Right. We often leave that part out about how we want to feel. So you find that beautiful model and that sensitive woman, but somehow you don't feel paid attention to.
Okay, so here's my question that just came up. So, like, I know what I'd like for myself is a loving, caring person that is also conscientious, conscious, and that I want to feel loved, valued, and respected in the relationship. And I'm also being very picky. I'd like for the person to be beautiful inside and out. So in my mind, some of the questions that come to my head is, well, am I being too picky or am I just honoring what I really want?
And I would immediately say to remove the word picky from your language because I hate that. You like what you like. You're attracted to what you're attracted to. Your body feels it. If you're into fitness and looking good, you want your partner to look good. So I would say, it's not either or, it's both and. You want a beautiful woman, someone who's beautiful to you inside and out, and that's what you want. And you can find that. There's so many women out there, and there's beautiful women that care about themselves and make themselves look good and have a good heart. And not only a good heart, but know how to appreciate a partner.
Thank you for that.
Thank you, Jean-Marc. Thanks so much for being with us and bringing up that picky conversation. I have to give a second on Dr. Erica's get rid of the word picky, because whenever you say you're picky, you're making yourself wrong for liking what you like. So let it go and just go for what you want, my friend. Good for you.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. Have an awesome day.
Thanks.
Take care. Yeah, I hear that all the time. I'm so picky. No, you're not picky. You have things that you prefer. Why would you say? It's like saying, "Oh, I'm really picky about any choices you make." It actually diminishes you. So stop it. Stop it. Sandra Leonard is on the line from Miami. You're in Miami, Sandra.
Actually, Tamarack is where I live.
Oh,
right,
yeah,
now.
That's
I'm
right.
Recuperating. I'm recuperating in Hollywood. So,
well, welcome to
you.
The call. Hope you're feeling good after your knee replacement surgery and feeling better.
Thank you. Yes, I'm on the mend. First of all, I just have to thank you for this call today. You know, you you brought up so many things that just shouted to me, because I'm in a second marriage. My husband's in a second marriage. When you mentioned about the problem with families of the children of the spouse, oh, I could write a soap opera. at my temple, we happen to be, and I love that you mentioned, you know, the kosher adultery. Is that? Yes, because I remember I used to watch him on television when he was on, and I miss him, and he's so funny, and he's so true to life. Our temple is having a Bible study this weekend, happens to be the last Saturday, of a book called Love and Respect. And, you know, and Jean-Marc just mentioned the word respect, and that is the word that now I understand is honey to a man. I mean, it's like the suckling milk of his mother's breast, respect. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what you say or what you do. If you tell him you respect him, he will love you. And I mean, I'm just mind-boggled with the pearls of wisdom that have come out of this book. But I am so grateful. I cannot wait to get my hands on your toolbox, because I'll bet you there's many more pearls of wisdom there, you know, for me. But the challenge that I find is it doesn't matter what you think you're doing right. If you're with someone who has an issue, in spite of going to counseling, and we have, where I remember the counselor saying, every Sunday I want you to take 30 minutes, and I want you to sit down face-to-face at a table, and I want you to discuss the good, bad, and ugly of the week so you can clean the air and work on the issues and start the week fresh. And that's all well and good that he told us that, but, you know, this has been years now. Not once have I gotten this man to sit still for 30 minutes and have this conversation. And 2 months into the marriage, I knew we had problems. It was like when we were dating, and by the way, I did find him on eHarmony. So, you know, I just have to add that to make the package even more fun. you know, I said to myself, this man does not understand communication. And I have been challenged with that now for 7 years. And every year that I have an anniversary, I say, good Lord, Jesus, God, whoever put us together, there's a reason for this. We're on the potter's wheel. I know there's something that's going to come out of this. A friend of mine prophesied a few years ago. She said, Sandra, someday you and Steve are going to have a powerful ministry, and you're going to be speaking on stages, and you're going to be telling people how marriages can be resolved and how things can work through. And you're going through this because you're in the valley, but you're going to be on the top of the mountain. And I'm going, holy moly, what are you talking about? Because when you're in the valley, you are in the valley. And I have to tell you, every day I say to myself, oh, Lord, why? But, you know, I'm still in it. I'm honoring my marriage vows, and I'm going like, help, help. So I'm so grateful I'm on the call today. There you go.
So can I say something?
Sure.
First of all, not to make anybody else wrong, but I would never tell someone every Sunday to sit down for a half hour and talk. My husband would never be able to sit for a half hour and talk like that, especially if it was an obligation that someone said we had to do. So,
okay.
So, I mean, that's just, I mean, it sounds like a nice thing with the type of person who likes to communicate. There's lots of men that love to communicate. So if you have a partner like that, sure, you can organize it. But the other piece is you really have to look at, where was I at when I met this person? Why did I choose this person? What is good? What does this relationship offer me? And can I live with whatever the other problems are, even if they never go away? Is there enough there that can make it worthwhile? And you can't compare it to anybody else. You have to look at yourself, your background, that your partner's background. You know, do they match in some way? For example, someone who comes from an alcoholic background may choose a partner that has an alcohol issue, and they might be unhappy about it, but it matches their background and it's familiar and, you know, and that's who they were attracted to. So you have to also look at who am I attracted to? What attracts me? and mm-hmm. who else is available? You know, is there mm-hmm. someone that I think could be better? And so there's a lot to consider before mm-hmm. you know, just split something up.
I love
giving love, you giving as much love as you can to the situation and to yourself.
Yeah.
I love what you said about reminding yourself, why did I choose this person in the first place? That's the first question to ask yourself. And then the second question is, even if the issues we have don't resolve, is there enough in the original reason for me to continue? That's like, you can't be more clear than that.
That's
awesome.
Thank you
so much, Sandra, for being here and sharing and for being vulnerable. You know,
mm-hmm.
you speak for so many of us
mm-hmm.
where we're in relationships and it's really good, but then it's not good, and then it's good and it's really good, and then it's not really good.
mm-hmm.
So, you know, thank you so much for speaking your truth and for, you know, for sharing that with us. Appreciate you
so
much.
It's been a 7-year roller coaster, and I'm so grateful that I've got WPN where I can share my thoughts without feeling
mm-hmm.
Threatened or compromised.
Yeah,
thank you.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
My pleasure, girl. So glad that you were with us today. And those two questions, that's where, you know, that's it right there. So maybe you should go for a walk instead of sitting at the table on Sundays to share what's good and bad in the week. I like the whole walk idea, the driving idea.
Great.
And then
make it
casual that it just comes up.
Got it.
As opposed to an obligation. Love that.
Thank you.
And one more
thing.
Don't compare to what you think it should be, like the media and what other people, being on Facebook and looking at how happy everybody's marriage is. And I know people that have posted how happy they are, and I actually saw them privately, and I know there was an awful lot going on, and it wasn't all that happiness. So you can feel really insecure comparing yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen.
Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Have an awesome day, Sandra.
Thank you. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's so many people, so many of us are in relationships, and we're always comparing to other people because that's, you know, the nature of the beast, the human. We look at what other people
mm-hmm.
have and we go, how come I don't have that? But the truth is, when you look at what you have it, why you're there, it's perfect for you. It doesn't
that's
have to be.
That's the point.
Yep, it's perfect for you.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Let me go ahead and open it up. I have someone calling in from the 301 area code. And again, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to join us, hit *6 on your phone to get into the queue. Good morning, 301. Your line is open.
Hello, this is Jonna.
Hi, Jonna. Welcome.
Hello.
Thank you. I was sick longer than I was married, and I was really, really bad, in my 40s. And I have to say that you know, now I specialize in helping people through what it was I had, which was final stage systemic candidiasis and leaky gut. And my husband didn't know who I was. I didn't know who I was until 4 years ago when I got my health back.
Mm.
And he's amazed. Oh, I have a sense of humor, and I'm a very sociable person. I didn't even have a clue, okay? So I want to say that when chronic illness, especially between both partners, when both of them have chronic illness, because systemic candidiasis is shared with partners, men don't usually have it as bad as women get it, but if both partners have systemic candidiasis, and what that involves is a lot of mental, emotional, psychological symptoms, everything from chronic depression to bipolar disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And when both people have that in, say, the fourth or fifth stage, divorce is almost inevitable, and their kids are going to have this because it's not genetic, it's not inherited, but it is shared in a family. And the kids will have all kinds of behavior problems. And it just creates turmoil in a family, and it has nothing to do with who those people actually are. It has to do with the illness that they are dealing with, and they usually don't even know it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, it's unfortunate that we have many illnesses, just like what you're talking about, leaky gut. There's many illnesses that are out there now caused by, you know, lots of things, food, stress, toxins in the air, all that stuff. And many people are walking around, like you said, Jonna, with depression and anxiety, and, you know, you're talking about how you didn't even have a sense of humor. How could you when you don't even know you're well? So, mm-hmm. Dr. Erica, I know that you probably make some recommendations when you see a couple. Can you see that there might be physical problems? How do you deal with that?
Well, I have a cousin who got divorced, and I begged her not to. Her husband had diabetes, and he had a temper, and I knew that there could be help for them, but she didn't know it. So that's another piece where it's so important not to look at the media and think, what's wrong with me that I'm being yelled at by this person? And what's wrong with me that I'm staying with this person? It's like we have a philosophy that we should get into a relationship and just be happy, and it should be beautiful and easy, and it just isn't, especially you've had it at maybe an earlier age, but as we get older, there are chronic illnesses, hip replacements, all kinds of things, and not everyone handles the illness well. They can get moody.
And it also affects them financially, too. I mean, it hits them from every angle.
Yes. So
in March,
you
my
really
husband
need
and I will
support.
Be married. Yeah, in March, my husband and I will be married 29 years.
Wow. Yeah, so the person, both of you need support. And the support comes from having caring friends around, family, if they're supportive, and counseling is really valuable. But also attending, if you can, I went to this live event, The Truth About Cancer. I went twice, and I'm going to another one in California, Longevity Now, because there's a lot of truth out there. There's a lot of information that we can take in, things that we can do to help to heal physically and mentally.
The Truth About Cancer is an excellent, excellent resource.
Awesome. Jonna, thank you so much for being with us this morning. I appreciate
you
being here.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Dr.
And I want to mention, The Truth About Cancer is not all about cancer. It's about healing illnesses. And they include candida as, you know, fungus as part of the cause of almost any disease. And leaky gut also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy how much our physical body is going to affect, you know, it's that mind-body connection, which you know about full well.
Right, it's huge.
It's huge. Well, thank you again so much for being with us today. Ladies and gents, make sure that you go to relationshiphealingtoolbox.com. Again, relationshiphealingtoolbox.com, and get the many resources that Dr. Erica is offering us today. Before we go, Dr. Erica, if there's one thing that you want to share with us that we may not have, just one thing about relationships in the 21st century, any last words of advice?
That it's more complex outwardly. It looks much more complex. There's many more distractions. It's so easy to say, this one is no good for me. But in the previous centuries, people stayed married. They stayed through the hardship. They may not have really worked it through. That's the difference now. We can stay, and you need this quality called grit that Daniel Pink writes about this in terms of business, but it works in relationships too. You need to be able to go through the tough times with love, and the most important person to love is yourself. So you need to get whatever support you can to love yourself and feel good about yourself, and then you can make a choice about, is this relationship good for me or not? If you're not loving yourself fully with lots of support, it's hard to make the right decision.
Yep, absolutely. Dr. Erica, thank you again so much for being with us. We appreciate you and appreciate you being here this morning. And Thank you.
And
all.
I want to thank you too for the way you reframe things and you pick the nuggets out. It was beautiful. Thank you.
Well, thank you for giving us so many incredible nuggets. And thank you all for being with us this morning. I look forward to seeing you again, speaking with you again this evening on the 8 p.m. Wow Wednesday call. That's 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. And we'll be talking about how to create captivating, powerful, positive presentations that are profitable. So I'll see you at 8 o'clock this evening. Thank you all for being with us. Dr. Erica, thanks once again. And go out today and make it a great Wow Wednesday. Bye-bye, everybody.